And it's Tony Adams put through by Steve Ball. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. Please help by subscribing and check out footballpurist.com. Welcome to another episode of the Purely Arsenal Podcast. I'm joined by Neil Shah. How are you doing, Neil?
Jekyll and Hyde, I think, is a word I'm looking for this weekend. Arsenal are Jekyll and Hyde, but I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
Back to winning business, and we're going to discuss it. Great stuff, mate. Also got Michael Harris. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good, Jack. I'm glad the proper football's back now after that absolute shite of international football. How are you?
God, it's hell, isn't it? I was just appreciating it last week that we were unbeaten, but it's I couldn't watch a thing, mate. Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. Doing well. Great to have you on again. Also got Mark Harrison with me. How you doing, Mark?
I'm all right, mate. I've had 2 weeks in the doldrums, but I'm pleased to say I'm officially out of it. So looking forward to chatting it through. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, mate. We're much more positive this week. And let's start with Michael. We needed to be, mate. I mean, we had 2 weeks, in the last 2 weeks since we last recorded, transfer windows closed. We'll get to that. We were in crisis, as the media said. And although we never overstep it too much and go too overboard, it did feel like, you know, this game was huge, Michael. Did you agree with that?
Yes, I think we did speak about it after the Liverpool game, how important it was that we show something, we bounce back. You know, we know the crowd yesterday. You know, there was a bit of a mixture, wasn't there? And obviously, we'll get into it later in terms of the receptions certain players got. But yeah, it was vital that we got the result yesterday, and the bonus really was the way we played in certain aspects of the game. You know, we came out of the traps pretty quickly. Lacazette and Welbeck looked really lively and linked up really well. We just had to put a performance in. I know it was Bournemouth, and it was to say, well, it was only Bournemouth, but you still got to beat what's in front of you. And we looked. It looked like they went out to prove a point, and I think the celebrations of the goals as well showed. It was pointedly how they all sort of came over to celebrate together to show a little bit of togetherness. But it was an important one, you know, for 4 or 5 games into the season. You know, it was vital that we got the 3 points, because last year Bournemouth gave us a bit of a scare, didn't they? They came down there and they showed us no respect, and they played really well, and we were lucky not to actually win the game. So it was vital that we got the result. And again, we keep saying that we've just got to build on it and try and get something going on Thursday, and then again on, obviously, for the big one against that mob down in West London.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge one. But Mark, what's your thoughts on the game? No Alexis in the starting lineup. Other than that, pretty much as expected, I guess, with the changes and with the transfer window, letting go of Ox, etc. We started playing people in their proper positions. No Alexis in the starting lineup. But what was your summary of the game, mate?
Well, I thought, I kind of expected that, Alexis. I didn't think he'd come back. He normally does that when he comes back. Then he gives him a little rest on the bench, unless it's a completely, you know, desperately important game. I know it was important yesterday, but, you know, let's get it into context. It was Bournemouth at home. And, I thought the lineup sort of reflected what I thought would happen after the Liverpool game in terms of Kolasinac and what's his name up front? Jesus, I've had a mind block. Lacazette. So, you know, it was good to see them come in, and within sort of 5 or 6 minutes, you could see the difference in the way that they started. And you know, I mean, how Kolasinac doesn't play Anfield, it's beyond me, really. Because as soon as the game started, we had that balanced look of the three, really. You know, he looks so much better on the left with him there, and Lacazette playing as a true centre forward, you know, Welbeck wide. So no, it looked right. It looked balanced yesterday, and we got on. You know, we got on top fairly quickly, didn't we? You know, we started to ping it about a bit. We played nice football. Bournemouth tried to press us, you know, as they do. But I thought we grew into the game, you know, and then obviously getting the early goal, it really sort of spurred us on to calm down and play some nice football. And we really did play some nice football yesterday, I have to say. It was a world apart from Anfield, and it, you know, the mind boggles as to how such a different, you know, 11 can serve up, you know, such strange football in terms of, you know, one week they're that, one week they're this. It's some of the stuff we played yesterday was really lovely. And the attitude of the players was different in, you know, it was just all different. And I'm just at a loss sometimes. I think Neil said when he came on, you know, it is Jekyll and Hyde. It really is. You don't know what you're going to get. And I don't know. But it was just lovely to see us back. It felt right. You know, we settled down. We played some good football. And it was a pleasure to be over there again, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to be Jekyll and Hyde. We need consistency, don't we? This season, that's what it's all about. We've got to get to some sort of consistency, and hopefully this is the start of something. But Neil, how do you judge this game? Because Bournemouth, in fairness to them, they didn't show up with much, no points on the board yet this season. They're going for a tough time of it, but you've got to beat the team that's in front of you. And as the game went on, we obviously got more goals, Neil. We seem to be more relaxed and play some proper Arsenal football. That's what we want to see, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was hearing as the match finished, people coming out the ground going, well, it was only Bournemouth and they played rubbish. But hang on a minute. We've got to, as you said, quite rightly said, Jack, you've got to beat the team that's in front of you. It's not our fault if they don't turn up. We've still got to play good football. And I think Mark summed it up there. We did play good football. You know, we were, the shape was a lot better. I still went for the back three. You know, there's been some debate whether that's working or not for us. I still favour that formation because I still believe that it was doing wonders for us at the end of last season. And I think it's the beginning of this season. It's not been about the formation so much. I think it might be more about the attitude of the players and all the unrest and all the uncertainties and the transfer window and all that going on. Now that the transfer window finally is shut, and thank goodness from next year, they're not going to extend it from, you know, they're going to finish it before the season starts, which I think is a great move. So I think that's going to start from next season. And I just believe that, you know, by that time, all the business should be done and you start the season and get on with football and have nothing else going on in your minds. And I just believe that, you know, that we played well. You know, Bournemouth upcoming into this game, yes, they haven't got any points, but they played tremendously well against Man City. They were very unlucky not to get anything out of that game, and they're a good unit. You know, I like Eddie Howe. I think he's a good manager. I think he gets them playing good football. I knew that, you know, they're going to be open. They're not going to park the bus, and you know, it's going to allow us to attack and score goals. So my only worry was, are we going to turn up as a team? Are we going to play as a unit? Are we going to keep our shape? Are we going to, you know, do the right things in defence and through midfield? You know, you even had Ozil running behind, going forward and doing the things that you want to see him do. You know, Ramsey, I thought, was a little bit weaker in the first half, but I thought he played a lot better in the second half. There were a couple of wayward passes, but other than that, you know, we did really well. And I was so pleased for Danny Welbeck, absolutely thrilled for him, because we've all sort of said that he does everything but put the ball in the net, and he is paid to be a striker. That is his job. And yesterday, okay, albeit the first one was a little bit of not a clean contact, but it certainly gave him the confidence and to go on from there. And, you know, we could have had four or five. And so I think it was just very important to get this win behind us, especially going into the big game. I know we got the Europa on Thursday, but we got the big game, you know, on Sunday, next Sunday, against Chelsea. And I think if we'd even drawn or just won, just scraped to win, I don't think that would have put us in good stead for the Chelsea game. I think now we can go into that game with more confidence. So it's a good win, but the problem is we have to do it consistently. There's no point in having a good win and then having a really bad loss. You know, we've got to have a good run of 10 to 12 games, I think, for us to really be, you know, making some kind of noise in the title.
Yeah, and a lot to be done before we can talk about that, really. So one game at a time. But like you said, it was a good performance yesterday. Talking about the first goal, Michael, Neil just touched on it. Kolasinac, great work down the left. Ramsey was involved a little bit too. His final ball seems to be really good, Michael. I quite like what I'm seeing with Kolasinac. I haven't seen too much of him just yet. But what about you? Are you liking that signing?
Yeah, it seems whatever he seems to do in the last third, it's very effective. Like, his output is on point. He finds a player or something that happens from it, you know. So, yeah, again, touching on what Mark said, you know, it's ludicrous that he didn't start at Anfield. God knows why he didn't, whether it was a muck or something, I don't know. But, you know, that guy, a bit like Lacazette, you know, I was saying to you guys over WhatsApp, you know, you've got to put these guys, they've got to play. If they're fit, he's got to play. The guy, you know, these guys, why have you bought them for? Why have you invested in these players if they're not going to come in and make a difference? But no, you know, he looks not only is he built like a, you know, a brick shit house, he can move, he moves as well. He actually has got a quick turn of speed, but it's the composure he's got in the last third, you know, where he's actually picking people out. He's not firing the ball across blindly or whatever. He's actually picking people out. So, I mean, if he's hopefully he's got the bit between his teeth, he's back in the side now. He's just going to continue, you know, on the way he is at the moment, because, you know, if we play him on the left and obviously Bellerin's on the right, then like, again, we look balanced and we don't have to worry about and placate a few people to keep them at the club by saying, okay, look, we can play you now, you know, please stay. We haven't got to do that rubbish anymore. We can just concentrate on the players that we've got now. So I hope there's more from him. I'm sure there'll be more from him. He looks an absolute steal, you know, and the fact that we got him on the free is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. For whatever reason, the transfer window, mentally, the whole club seems to affect us far more than other clubs, and it being closed earlier next season, certainly in the English League, will do us a huge benefit, because it doesn't matter what state we're in, what financial supposed state we're in, we just seem to be all over the place until that closes, doesn't it? We have no idea what's going on with players, and it seems to get worse and worse every year. But moving on from that, Danny Welbeck, Mark, I thought Danny Welbeck, we'll get to his second goal shortly, but his first goal, he's a master of fluffing goals, for starters. But how do you, I mean, there's three goals in four for Danny Welbeck. We know he's not the most clinical finisher, but certainly his second goal would have said otherwise. How do you drop a player, really? Because he would be the obvious one to go out when Alexis comes in. And we did get a question on that as well. How do you drop a player that's putting a performance like that next week against Chelsea? How do you do that?
Well, I don't think you can. I mean, you know, he's always honest, and he, you know, he's always hardworking. Wenger believes in him, because every time he's fit, he does tend to play him. You know, and he's been unlucky. He's been very unlucky since he's been at Arsenal. I think, you know, there is I mean, he's not the best finisher, but there is a misconception that he ain't got a clue. You know, we can't get his feet right. But he's rusty. You've got to think how long he hasn't played. He hasn't played lots of games. And I get the feeling with him that whilst he won't be a Lacazette in front of goal, you know, he will be better than he's shown in terms of his finishing. You know, he's just missing that little bit, those little bits of timing, even with the header. Certainly with his second goal, as you say, it was a great finish, left foot, you know, across the keeper. That shows me that confidence is coming. You know, in the second half, he tried a little chip, you know, he tried a little chip as well, trying to chip the keeper. Yeah, suddenly fantastic. Do you remember that? Suddenly
yeah,
he was...
fantastic.
And you know, there is an amount of any player that is confidence. And I don't, you know, Welbeck probably is the same as everybody else, is that once you start scoring, you tend to suddenly, then balls that come off your foot and you can't quite get your feet right, suddenly you find a sharpness with games and with success in front of goal. And I think, you know, as well as him being a powerhouse for the team and a very, very honest, you know, good player generally all round for the team, I think he's got a lot more to come in front of goal, because he is better than he's shown given his injuries. As I say, he's not going to be a Lacazette because he hasn't got that way about him. But my God, he's an effective player, and I'm really pleased for him, really really pleased for him. But I saw the difference in the way he played from even after his first goal. Suddenly you could see it was flowing through him. He was gutted when he came off because he knew he could have got that trick, and that's kind of what you want to see, you know. So for me, given that he is in form, as you've got to say he's in form, 3 and 4, and Alexis coming back a bit, you know, overweight, and also the fact that he doesn't want to be there. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, you've got to play at Chelsea, and Alexis has to wait, because, you know, otherwise what message is that sending to Danny Welbeck?
Yeah, exactly. There's a player in his position currently who's doing the job, and there's no reason at this point to bring... I agree with you. There's no reason to bring Alexis in at this point.
Yeah.
And Wenger touched on him being a coach's dream yesterday after the game, Danny Welbeck, just saying he's a dream for a coach, because he does what you tell him to do. He's consistent in the way that he plays. His movement's always there. He's always a willing runner. And I was like, yeah, it's got to be. You watch him and you go, yeah, he's got to be. Yeah, sometimes looks a little bit clumsy. Sometimes you get frustrated. But you can. Yeah. He just gives it his all, doesn't he? And that's all we ask. That's why his fans love him, isn't it, really?
He does. And I'd like to see him, you know, with a 10-game run and see where he is. You know, if he stays fit, you know, God, let's hope he stays fit. After a 10-game run, let's see what people are saying about him. Because I think he'd have more goals. I think he'd look really, really sharp. He's got a lot of pace. And listen, you know, and with what's gone on with Alexis in the summer, it's tough. He'll have to wait. Shit. We'll use you when we want to use you, right? That's as simple as that. And while Welbeck's doing it, Welbeck deserves to be in the team. I'll be outraged if he's dropped at Chelsea. Outraged.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see Alexis Thursday night, mate.
You never know.
You never know, mate. You never know. You know, it'd be interesting. I haven't thought about it, but it could be. Danny Welbeck was fantastic. Another player that caught the eye with a great move, two great moves, Neil. But let's start with the first one. Lacazette's goal, great move by Ozil to Ramsey, I think. No, sorry, to Welbeck it was. Welbeck was involved again. And then he just looks so assured, Neil. I mean, he's outside the box, I believe, when he shoots that. You know, and I don't think we're used to it. He just looked like he was taking his time. It looked like he had so much time to pick his spot.
Yeah, very composed.
And he's never in doubt, was it? And he doesn't miss. He just rarely misses, does he?
No, really good. We have missed that, Jack. We've missed it badly. You know, you can think way back and go even to Ian Wright's days. You know, if the people like that would have a shot and not worry about trying to play the most attractive or try and walk the ball to the net and play the most magical goal, but just as you get an opportunity, just take it. And you're right, he doesn't miss. He's very composed. He's very self-assured. He's full of confidence. I don't think the pace of the Premiership and the strength of it has really affected him. He's almost settled in very, very quickly. And these are all good signs for us. You know, he has something added now to our squad, which is different, which you rightly said, we're not used to it. So as soon as he got that ball and pinged it in, we're like, wow. Oh, and the finishes are all good. They're not like, you know, little ricochets or rebounds or deflections. You know, they're clean finishes, and that's what we want to see. And I just think there's so much more to come from him. But it's not just that he brings. You know, I saw on, you know, a few occasions where he's tracking back and winning the ball back, he's defending from the top. You know, there's just so much more than just him putting the ball in the net from outside the box. He's also the player that can probably do it from within the box. You know, because initially we was almost given the name of, you know, maybe this is our fox in the box, but I think he's got a lot more to his game, you know, and I think he will complement what we've already got with Giroud, with Welbeck, and, you know, even for Alexis while he's with us from an attacking point of view. And, you know, in that respect, we shouldn't be worried. I think it's just getting that mentality right with the midfield and getting that good balance with the midfield and the players at the back. I think going forward, I don't think we've got any problems at all. But, I really liked his play. And I think it was actually he initially took the pass from Ozil, didn't he? And he almost like just chipped it, passed it to Welbeck, and then he got a return. It was almost like a quick 1-2 with Welbeck for the goal. But he's just magical, Jack. I'm so pleased we've got him. As much as I'm happy about, you know, Kolasinac, I'm so pleased with those two signings. You know, it's brought a whole new dimension to our game for us, which we so badly needed.
Yeah, I want to see him starting a big game next week. It's got to happen. We didn't see him against Liverpool. That was frustrating, wasn't it? And I want to see him starting a big game next week. Michael, how do we make sure Lacazette doesn't get too isolated? You know, I mean, when he gets it and he's in front of goal and he decides to shoot, he's fantastic. How do we make sure in those big games where chances are few and far between, is it all just to do with our movement and the fact that we're on it? The way we were kind of leading into the second half yesterday, we need to be like that from the start? Or is there more to it? Do we need to make sure he doesn't become isolated?
I think the way you become isolated, you don't let him become isolated, is picking the right bodies. And, you know, Mark touched on it by not Welbeck not being dropped for next week. I think if he plays next week, you know, they both continue a little bit of form that they struck up yesterday. I know, again, it's different opposition, but still, you know, the fact that he'll have someone up there with him who is a willing runner, you know, he's strong, he'll keep going, you know, to the end. You know, you need people like that, options for him to drop off, and then Welbeck can go in behind him. I think, and it's the mentality, it's the way we set up as well. You know, I think as long as we're in the game next week, you know, and again, we seem to you know, these big games, you just seem to get blown away, don't we? You know, we're out of it before we have a chance to make a statement in the game. You know, if we're still in the game, you know, an hour gone or whatever, then it makes a massive difference. He becomes more vital because a chance will come and he'll put it away, and then bang, we get 3 points. So I think, you know, I'd stick with the same team for next week. Let him continue, you know, what he's building up with Ozil and Welbeck, you know, and Alexis, yeah, he's just got to bide his time. But it's the mentality, it's the way we go out. Do we go out on Saturday? Do we go out the same way, you know, half beaten before we even step on the pitch? Or do we actually say to ourselves, look, we're going to make ourselves hard to beat today. We're not going to give anything away. Keep it really, really tight and try and nick something. You know, when was the last time we've done that in a big game in the league? I can't, away from home, especially.
Oh, it's been ages.
Don't think we've done it for ages. You know, so that's for me. It's the mentality, Jack. You know, it's only Bournemouth, but this is where we're going to get judged this season. What we do away to teams like Chelsea. You know, we go there and we put a performance in, make a statement. Then that just you know, resounds through to everyone, for us. For everyone, you know, on social media, for the players, everyone, you know, so it's vital that we keep doing what we're doing and give this guy as much support as we can, because he's a killer, he's a finisher. You know, we've got to give this guy as much support as we can. Well, you know, otherwise, what's the point? What's the point in buying him if we're not going to play to his strengths?
Exactly, and he showed, just like you boys said about him not just being, you know, a fox in the box as such with the third goal, Mark, because he kind of started it. He broke it down. He put pressure onto their defender and then unleashed Ramsey to create the goal for Welbeck. So, I mean, it looks like, you know, he's everything that we need in a striker, but we've got to play him next week and we've got to turn up next week. How do we, you know, Welbeck's finish was great. Do you think that's going to help? I know we already touched on Welbeck, Mark, but do you think that's going to help with Welbeck? Because it was a great finish, but it was clinical. He took it. He didn't think about it. We need him to be a bit more like that in front of goal, don't we? Where he's not got as much time and he has to judge it on his instincts. It's where he kind of has that time against Liverpool last week, for example, where he has a little bit of time and then, you know, he sort of fluffs his chance. But when we're moving quick like that and we were doing one and two touch and quick movement, it's fantastic. Plays into his strengths, doesn't it?
Yeah, they couldn't go with it really. By then, you know, they first half they were pressing, as they do. You know, that's their game. And by the trouble is with that, of course, is when you've got a team like Arsenal that can pass it like we can, when we're at it, you don't get the ball much, and there's only so much of that chasing around you can do. And come the second half, you know, especially the last 20, there was big gaps for us to run into, and we still were full of running. And as you say, you know, Lacazette was, you know, what I love about him is that he's one of them players that you don't see sometimes in games. You know, he's the best centre forward sometimes, I think. The out-and-out strikers, you don't necessarily see them all the time, because what they do, they just play with that in mind. All they want to do is score goals. So he plays down the central channel. You don't mind coming out and helping or shutting down people, you know, but he conserves his energy, conserves his talent, I think. Because he's there to score goals, and then when he gets a chance, he dispatches them. You know, they're in the net. He's just one of them players. You can see it. He plays in the central channel, and that of course brings other players like Welbeck into the game. And by the last 20, as you quite rightly pointed out, you know, Welbeck was great before he went off. He was looking brilliant, and the finish was excellent. You know, left foot. You know what I mean? His balance was right. His feet were right. Took it early. There was only one place the ball could go, and it was exactly where it went. So it was really, really good to see, you know. And by then, I thought to myself, well, there was still, I don't know, probably 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes to go, wasn't there, when that last one went in.
Yeah.
And I thought there might be a couple more. We did come close, but it, you know, it wasn't to be. But I was happy with that, mate, obviously.
Yeah, can't moan too much, but it would have been nice to get the goal difference sorted out a little bit, wasn't it? But because we took a heavy hit against Liverpool, and we've not had a good goal difference last season either overall. So we don't want to get, you know, I mean, obviously it's all about points on the board and how you're playing, but hopefully with that will come. So as the games go on, but Neil, a couple of other things. I've got about three other things that I want to talk about on the game. First one being the substitutions made. Coquelin's injury, Neil, bit of a blow that. Probably would have used him midweek for sure. I think he's looked a little bit better coming off the bench towards the end of last season going on. He got shot by a sniper and he went down, and it looked like a hamstring injury, I think. So that going to be a blow for us, Neil? Do you think, would you have seen him coming, not necessarily maybe into the first team, but good squad player, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good. I think he's a good squad player. And some people disagree, and they think he's not good enough to play for Arsenal. But I don't know. I think there's been he didn't have the best of seasons best of times last season, and we discussed it, and he did actually come out and say he's had personal issues, and at least he was honest about that, and we did feel that after hopefully that's all been resolved, he did show some good, you know, some good. Good, he put in some good appearances for us. So I think while he may not be, whereas before, you know, initially when he was almost picking himself, where he might not be first team choice anymore, but surely a good backup if needed and required. And then to lose him now only means for me that, you know, it's potentially opens the door for Jack Wilshere potentially. I know we've got Elneny as well, but I think Elneny, while I believe he's a tidy player and he does the simple things, he's not so enterprising as maybe someone like Jack would be. And if Jack can stay injury free and maybe get a couple of chances, maybe initially starting in potentially games like the Europa and maybe the League Cup and see how he gets on, you know, he could be an option for us if required. But it is a blow. I mean, you're better at all the injury stuff, Jack, as you deal with it. But I mean, if it's a bad hamstring, it could be a while before he's back, which is a massive blow, not just to us, but to him as well. Because I don't know if this is true, but I heard that he was really upset and he literally took his shirt off and threw it on the floor when he was going down the tunnel. So, you know, I feel gutted for the man. You know, if he feels that he's ready to come back and he's got a bit of form back, maybe in training he's showing some really good signs of being that good, competent player again and that engine that we need in midfield and giving us that additional option if we need it. It is a big blow for us, but it's also a blow for him. So, you know, I wish him all the best of his recovery. But, you know, it could well, you know, ironically, open the door for Jack to return, and maybe he'll start featuring a little bit more. So that's how I see it. Yeah,
no, I agree with you. Yeah, unfortunate. A couple of other things, not negatives as such, Michael, but just sort of like question marks that I have to touch on in the game. Obviously, Bournemouth didn't push us too much. They didn't make us get out of third gear as such. So it's a hard one to judge defensively. Couple of changes that I noticed that we made. One was Mustafi was centrally. I want to see what your thoughts were on that, Michael. And then another one was I'm still very concerned about Xhaka and Ramsey on the defensive side. Their recovery speed, their willingness to recover. You know, you have to have that real desire to get back. And I don't really feel it from either of them. Obviously, Xhaka sits deeper, so he gets less troubled, if you like. But I have a concern there as them being our pairing for every game. What do you think about those two things, Mustafi being centrally and the midfield pairing?
It was obviously, we're all obviously surprised with the whole Mustafi being available for transfer and being almost like frozen out a little bit and stuff coming out saying that he's upset a few people behind the scenes and been outspoken and what have you. You know, he looked okay, but you know, slotting back in from what I saw, I only saw extended highlights, but you know, he you know, again, he was involved in the celebrations and seemed to be getting along with people as well. Maybe what's happened will give him a little bit of a spur, because obviously something happened when he returned from that injury last year when, you know, he sort of fell off a little bit. So it was good to see him back. You know, the guy's at the end of the day, he's a proven international. You know, he's experienced and he likes playing with Koscielny. So, you know, as long as he's in there, I'm happy. You know, and obviously if he's got his head screwed on and if he's playing for a move away, well, you know, so be it. But, you know, I'll be happy. As long as he's fit, I'll have him in there as one of the starters. And as for the two in the middle, how long have you got? I mean, you know, again, Ramsey was doing his you know, his Hollywood stuff when he, you know, passing 30-yard balls off the pitch and then 1 minute, and then he was doing some cute stuff around the corner. Obviously, the stuff with Kolasinac to set up to start the first goal, and he got an assist for Danny's second. I don't know, Jack. I think we really missed a trick there. We should have invested in someone in that type of defensive midfielder that we need, which is missing. You know, we seem to have everybody else who can do different types of jobs in that midfield, but we're just missing that dynamic, mobile, one guy who can sit, you know, but who can use his power to to influence that area, you know, to use his power, but also have be mobile. If he sees danger, he can get there and snuff it out. We haven't got anyone there that can do that. You know, Coquelin is the closest we've got. He's more of a ball winner. You know, he likes to vacate the space as well. You know, Xhaka does like to play deeper. He doesn't vacate the space as much, but when he does, he hasn't got the pace to get back. Do you know what I mean? So we've got all these players, Jack, you know, Santi, they're all great in the middle, but just that guy we're missing out on. And I think that's the one we really need to identify in you know, whether it's, I don't think it'd be January, but when we can, because I think that's what we're missing. But at right now, they're the two that we've got to go with, because they're the two that are fit, aren't they? You know, Jack isn't fit yet. Santi, we know he's on the way back. But it's a bit worrying when you think about it now. You know, where the numbers have gone down all of a sudden, haven't they, in midfield?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's amazing how it happens at Arsenal. And yeah, you're right. There isn't that player there, that physical, powerful, like you said, player. It just doesn't exist there. And when we come up against physical, powerful teams like, you know, Manchester United, Chelsea, Tottenham, even they're quite physical in the centre of the park. Mm. But you worry. You do worry, because you just don't sense that either player really desires to stand on and have a proper midfield battle. It's not always going to be like it was yesterday. So, although yesterday, you know, you can't really fault them too much, there were a couple of times where you could just see them nipping behind and we were nowhere. And it's just a little bit worrying, isn't it?
It just amazes me that we've had in the history of football, let's say, or the history of our club at least, you know, Arsenal's identified, you know, and brought along three of the most, you know, important guys in that position, you know, Patrick, Petit and Gilberto Silva. And yet he hasn't identified someone like that again, you know, to you know, and he's the man that had the, you know, he's had Arsenal's glasses, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, he's the man that spotted that and brought it out. And yet here we are, and we're crying out for one of those. Just one of those would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Just to be put in there. If we had one of those in there, we'd be sorted. So we just need to, that's the area for me where everything else seems okay. It's just that area where, you know, next Saturday, that's where I think we're going to be caught out a bit. I think that's where and Jack are going to be.
Kolasinac, or his name. Yeah. I can never say his name. Clone him, because he's the ideal player, isn't he? If you have another one of him in the middle, that'd be perfect. Honestly,
yeah,
it really would.
Yeah. We need that physicality. We do. It's so frustrating that we haven't bought. And that's why I keep banging on about people like Wilshere, because although he's short, he's, you know, size wise, he's not necessarily there, but he loves a battle. But he's got to prove himself in the lesser competitions before we can even consider him for the first team. I'm still not sure he's even going to play on Thursday night, because we don't really know how much Wenger has faith in him to be fit at this point. So, you know, but I know Jack Wilshere, I've seen a couple of things been posting about, you know, he can't get a game at Arsenal. He posted on some player Instagram, you know, I can't get a game down here, anyone give me a game or something like that. So he obviously thinks he's fit and ready. So it's a bit of an odd one. If he doesn't play Thursday or he's not in the squad, it's going to be very odd. But let's see what he can give us, you know, let's see. Because like you said, we need a solution in there for the season. I don't think Jack and Ramsey are completely it. But Alexis's reception, Mark. Thoughts on what you heard inside the stadium, and also what you personally felt about what you heard.
Well, I thought he was going to just get an half decent reception. You know, I didn't expect what happened. So essentially, what happened was as he came on, they announced him, and the announcer tried to give him some massive send on as well. You know, huge. You know, really big. And it started off as a sort of as a clap and a bit of a cheer, and then suddenly there was a real sort of crescendo of boos that probably sort of, you know, matched the claps, and then suddenly took them over. So because everyone went, oh, you know, it was a little bit sort of surprising. And obviously I can understand that. You know, I personally just abstained. I just, you know, I didn't clap him. I certainly wouldn't clap him. But you know, he's wearing an Arsenal shirt. So what would be the point of booing the fella? Yeah. I don't quite understand it. You know, he's there. He doesn't want to be there, right? But he's had to accept that he's going to be. I don't particularly like the idea of someone wearing an Arsenal shirt doesn't want to be there. I'd rather him just fuck off, basically. But he's, you know, we're in this together. So while he's got an Arsenal shirt on, why would I want to boo him? I don't get that. Because what we want him to do, you know, whilst he's here as an employee of the Arsenal, as the Arsenal Football Club, we want him to play well. I want him to have a great season and piss off at the end of it for nothing. You know, so if that's how it's going to be, that's how it's going to be. But I want him to perform. I don't want him to be, you know, not performing as well, because that's even worse. And then we're stuck with someone who's world class, who can help us, and don't really want to play because he feels that everyone hates him. So, you know, let's hope that it doesn't get to that. But I also get that people are very, you know, disenchanted with the bloke. You know, it's ours to watch him come on, knowing that he really would love to be playing in a Man City shirt, you know, and all the round of applause when he got, you know, all that stuff that seemed to be quite widely reported that he announced it. You know, his agent rang him and told him, then he went and told his teammates and they gave him a standing ovation in the dressing room and all that, you know, chilly and all that. So, you know, it's all, he was gone in his mind, and he wants to get out, it's clear, but it's a difficult situation. You know, is he professional enough to put that aside and give his best? It's a big risk. It's a big risk. You know, I don't get. Yeah, we all know he's a madman for the game and all that. Maybe that will carry him through, but he's hardly. You know, he's not going to have that last 5% for me. That when you mean something, you mean it. You know, I think he'll play and I think he'll do a decent job. But will he really push his hamstrings? You know, to the very end. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I think we might see a touch of the Nasri's where, as we get closer to that window or whatever window it's going to be, you're going to start to see maybe a little bit of a decrease of commitment, you know, pressing and stuff like that. He's just, you know, preserving himself. Well, I don't want to fuck up this move. I don't want to mess up this big contract. So I think I think he'll be all right. But I think as you get closer, I think you'll start to see.
From January, they can talk to anyone.
Well, I think there's also a chance even that if we got Lamar in January, they would go in January.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think if that's not dead, then if we can replace him, then he's going, you know, which actually is the right thing to do, because you actually want someone that wants to play for us. You know, if Lamar wants to play for Arsenal or agrees to come, right, then he can do one, can't he? You know, I don't really want him around the place. No. And, you know, because it's, you know, but it's not just him, is it? You know, you've got Mustafi, you've got Bellerin, who just looks like he's in a daydream. You know, yesterday he was just appalling.
Yep.
The only player.
So worrying, isn't it? So worrying.
It's really concerning. And, you know, the bigger picture worries me. You know, it really concerns me about the morale and the sort of the mindset of the squad, because, you know, half of them want to leave. So it is difficult, you know. So the players that are there are seeing all this going on. They're probably talking to each other about it. And it's hard, you know. My big concern is when it gets to critical times of the season, you know, when we're away, like next week, for example, is a big, big acid test for me. Because exactly what the guys were saying about central midfield, he's totally right. Is when the back three are under pressure, right, you need your central midfield to be helpful, but they're not there. They're not capable of performing that Kante, you know, Matic, you know, role where they get involved and sweep up and help out hard. You know, they're pushing in hard. You know, sometimes they're the last man. We've got that. So it's a big thing for me. It's all right yesterday. We all looked okay. We all came back there. It's fine. Bit of confidence back. Next week, we'll tell you where we are. Because there's every chance we could go out and lose 5-0 again. There's every chance. I'll tell you that now.
Yeah.
I'm not being Dr. Doom here, but this squad is fragile. It's fragile mentally and it's fragile physically. And we'll see.
Yeah, I can understand also, you know, Alex, I agree completely with your point on Alexis. I wouldn't have booed him because I don't see what that achieved. I certainly ain't singing his name and waving dog banners and all that crap either.
Because
I had a few discussions on Twitter about it, and they were like, well, why wouldn't you support him? And I went, well, he's got to earn our support back a little bit, for one. And so he doesn't want to be there. Like, he doesn't. I never ever disagreed with Arsenal's sentiment to remove big players like Robbie Van Persie, Nasri, Adebayor, that didn't want to be at the club. I just disagreed with selling them to top Premier League clubs.
Right, correct. I think
that generally goes for any kind of Arsenal fan. When we're seeing all this stuff about, one time you disagree with Wenger, now he can't win. No. Most people would agree that you don't want the players that don't want to be at the club. It's just you don't want to sell them to a main rival. And so I can understand what Wenger's done here, but it's been pretty clear. He's not done a big moment like Coutinho or Van Dijk where he's come out and said, yeah, get me out of the club as such. But he's done it in a very passive, subtle way. He still wanted the same thing, let's be honest. I mean, he's wanted the same thing. He's wanted out. And, you know, he's like you said last week, I think Mark said last week, employee of the club. You know, that's what they punch in, they punch out, and we're not going to... Why should we show any extra devotion to him, Neil? I mean, I'm very quick to moan about the general atmosphere of Arsenal fans, but I don't think they should be cheering his name at this point, do you?
No. But I think Mark said exactly what I wanted to say. He summed it up perfectly. I think at the end of the day, I didn't clap or neither did I boo. I mean, when they announced him, I was actually quite surprised. I thought he'd get more boos, to be fair. But you know, a lot of the crowd were clapping because when I watched the replay and of him coming on, they panned over to the crowd and you know they were clapping him on. So fair play for those fans. But also understand the fans which did start the booing because you know, as you guys have just said. If someone doesn't want to be there, I don't see why we should automatically just you know bowing to them, saying oh yeah, so Alexis again, blah blah blah. When you know he has been involved in all of this stuff that's been going on in the summer. At the same time, also again, rightly so, Jack, you said that you know they've got to have a bit of responsibility of winning the crowd back. What I noticed at the end of the game, I don't know whether anyone else did, but he walked straight down the tunnel. He didn't go and clap towards any of the fans. He didn't show any appreciation, nothing. And Ozil followed him as well, straight off. It was players like Koscielny and all the others that went round and started clapping the fans. And I just felt, and I brought this up last week or the week before, I can't remember, about you know the difference between him and Giroud. You know, Giroud, a player who's been shown the door, and he said no, and I'm going to fight for my place. And he could have quite easily gone to another club because he's a French international. And he said, even though I'm a substitute, I still want to be here and do what I can. And, you know, I want to stay here until 2020 or 2021, whatever it was that he came out with. And they're the kind of players that, you know, win, you know, fans, you know, affection and almost become sort of iconic as well, you know, iconic figures that, you know, end of the day, you know, this guy loves the club and he wants to be part of it. He wants to be part of something special. So if Alexis wants to go, I completely agree with Mark. I think... If this Lamar thing, I mean, you know what I'm like with transfer gossip and whatnot, but if there is any degree of truth in it and there's a chance that we're going to get him in January, I think Mark's quite right. I think that's when he'll go. I think he will go in January. There's no point hanging on to him and having Lamar as well. Because the 20 million, even if we could have commanded 50, 60, 70 or 80 for him in the summer, we're still going to get 20 million more than we're going to get, you know, when his contract expires. And if he's going to go anyway, why not get him out a little bit earlier and get Lamar in? So it makes sense. And I think even City have gone on record again, whether this is true or not, saying they're not going to bid more than 20 or 25 for him anyway in January. So I don't want to see him going to City. If you want, you know, again, I agree with you. If he's going to go, send him abroad. But yeah, you're right. I echo this with all the players. If they're all made a little bit of noise, which is, you know, counterproductive to the best interest of the club, I think they've got to do a little bit to earn the fans, you know, respect back, if you like. And, you know, for me, respect is earned. It's not just a given in any field of life. And I think that's what they've got to do. But going back to Alexis, just very quickly, I think he is the kind of player, I agree with Mark, but I think he will give it his all. I mean, even when he came on for 10, 15 minutes, he did try it. You know, he made some good runs. He, you know, he was coming, cutting in again from the left. And, you know, he made himself known and he could have scored one or two goals. So it's not as if he just came in and just almost like came on for the sake of coming on. He did try his best. And I agree, I think Welbeck shouldn't be displaced by him next week because that's not fair on him at all. But if he does get some kind of role against Chelsea, I think he will do play his heart out in that respect. And it only takes him to score a couple of goals, and I'm sure the fans are going to get behind him again. But we've got to be behind any player wearing the cannon. I've always said it. Whoever comes on that pitch wearing the cannon, no matter what, at that point in time, we have to get behind them.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. But, you know, another thing is, it's not just Alexis, like Mark said, Michael. Mesut Ozil, how far is Mesut Ozil? And he had a good performance yesterday, Mesut Ozil. Played very well, and I'm not missing that. I'm not disputing that. But I'm more concerned with... You know, is he going to do it next week? Because none of us seem to turn up next week. You know, that's our concern. We know he can do it against the Bournemouths. We know he's going to do it against the Bournemouths. But how far is Mesut Ozil away from Alexis's position? Not asked for a move out. Been very lovey-dovey on Instagram, all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, he's not signed a new contract. And he's not had as many clubs, really, or any clubs coming in for him. if he did, maybe he would have turned, you know. So how far is he away from that, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird one. There's just been nothing coming out anywhere about anyone sniffing around or putting a bid in or anything, you know, which is really weird. I mean, maybe is it the bad press or the so-called, you know, performances, lack of performances that he's put in has literally scared everyone away, you know, from touching him. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, he's in the same boat as Alexis. He'll be able to go on the free. So it's another player that we've pumped a lot of money into, not just the transfer fee, but wages as well, which we're not going to get a return on, possibly, you know, and which again is just me touching back on the way the club is run is scandalous, really, to be in this position. But where is there for him to go? Maybe only Germany, really. You know, people say Bayern Munich, but Bayern Munich fans don't really rate him, don't like him at all. So Ozil, you know, he played well yesterday, but you know, it's game like next week, and we sort of kind of all know what's going to happen with him, aren't we? He's going to get pushed off the ball a bit. He's going to lose heart a bit, you know, and stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, I'm to be honest, I'm not really, you know, I know we've waxed lyrical on him last year, especially with just a great start he's had, but I'm not really fussed really with him anymore now, Jack, to be honest. He just frustrates me now that, you know, we're still talking here about him and obviously Alexis and being in the same boat. And I think if a club came in for him, I think he probably would like to stay with Arsenal, because as long as Wenger's there, because he's got everything sorted out, hasn't he? He's sweet here. He hasn't got that much accountability. He knows he's going to be playing next week and stuff. So I don't know, mate. It's I think he'll stick around. I think he doesn't really think that. Oh, I don't really want to do anything else with another club. I'm happy playing for Germany and doing the stuff there, and Arsenal is just a bit of a luxury for me now. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's a bit of an odd one, but like we've all said, it's not good to have three or four players around the club or in the first team that clearly seem to want out, because the problem is by January, let's say you're an employer of a club, right, or you've been in this situation before, I'm sure you're an employee, but you're getting another job and you know you're going to go start that new job in 3 or 4 months' time, naturally your ability for your current job and your effort and your motivation for your current job lessens, doesn't it? So as soon as they're able to talk to other clubs and presumably sign a pre-contract agreement in January, Ozil and Alexis, if they want to, performance is going to deteriorate as the season goes on. You would have thought. It's just a bit odd, isn't it? It's just frustrating. But moving on beyond the game, we've got a few... Let's do a few fans question. I think we got Mark back, so that's good. Let's do a few fans questions. Sorry, I've got to get my phone open. I should have opened it already, but it closed down on me. What's going on? Hold on. Just before we get to the Cologne game and everything like that, let's start with you, Mark. Can we somehow accommodate Samrid Zucci, good man at Samrid? Can we somehow accommodate Coquelin with Xhaka and Ramsey and switch to a back four? Do you think? I mean, the big away games, we just talked about it. We've not had a big away result in the Premier League for God knows how long. So something has to change. Mm. Coquelin's injured now, but he's switching the formation back to a solid three in the midfield and pushing Ozil higher up a solution for you?
Possibly. I just think it's a much bigger, you know, issue than just changing a few players around, Jack. You know, I just think there's a mentality in the club that needs to change, you know, and that's a far bigger issue than just putting people in different places for me. Yes, you could start off being more defensive. Yes, you can, you know, you can do all these things, but these players have all got to do it. They've all got to do it on the day. 14, 15 of them have got to do it on the day. You know, it's not about where you play, almost, you know, any formation can work if the players make it work. You know, it's like anything, isn't it? You know, you have to give it everything you've got, and when you do, then you'll see how good you are. But until we go somewhere and actually give everything we've got and show that we mean it, it doesn't matter who plays where. said, yeah, you could play Mesut Ozil right back. You can play, that doesn't matter in the end of the day, because it's a far bigger issue than just positional sense. You know, at Liverpool, we could have played with seven at the back, right? And we'd still got hammered, because the mentality of the team and the way they were set up and the way they went about reacting to letting goals in is all wrong. Completely and utterly wrong. There's not one thing right about it. So for me, you know, there has to be a swing in the way they approach games and the way they react to negative things that happen in a game. If you let a goal in, so fucking what? Get back, roll your sleeves up, look at the next person around you and say, right, come on, let's get back in it. What happens is they all put their head on the floor, walk back the halfway line, it just gets progressively worse because there's no character in the team. There's no leaders in the team. There's no desire and want to do it. Now, whether that gets back to Arthur and wanting to leave or whatever, this is my issue with it, right? My issue is when we come to these crucial parts of the season with four or five players wanting to leave, is are you going to get what you need to compete out of them? Probably not, you know, because it is a massive ask. You know, already Chelsea had one blip in the opening day. He's got them back on track, hasn't he? That, you know, suddenly their heads are on. They're all focused. You know, they're battling out results again. That's what Chelsea do. They'll be ready. They'll be ready. They'll be ready next week for us coming. You know, it's a big game, and will we be? Will we be ready? Will we be up for it? Like they're going to be up for it. And if we're not, we'll get beaten again. And we'll get beaten soundly, because that's what happens at these grounds. You know, they're relentless. These teams, they've got enough quality to kill you. And we've got to be ready for it. So until that changes, I don't think it matters who plays where. You know, I don't think it matters. I really don't. I just think it's about a collective wanting to do it. And when they show that, then you know, it can happen. Like they did in the cup final. Just go back to that. It wasn't that long ago. In the cup final, they all played. They all went for it. They all gave everything. And Chelsea were off of it a bit. And we gave a good hiding, quite frankly. We beat them soundly. So it's not like they can't do it. It's not like, you know, you need four or five other players. We've got the squad. We've got the quality. It's all about the desire and all about the mentality of the team. That comes from the manager into the players. And they've all got to do it as a collective. And if they don't, they will get like they got hammered at Liverpool. That could happen again. We could quite easily go out and win, to be honest. But yeah, but they have to have their heads on. And that's what I'd say about it.
Yep, and I have concerns that we won't have because of all the reasons that that you just mentioned exactly. So time will tell, but they've got it's the big games that count. It's the big games where all these like mental fragilities they're going to show up,
yeah,
aren't they? So
totally right, mate.
Yeah, it's no coincidence that that's why we're seeing it in those games. But at Charles_87, Neil says we don't have a centre midfield beast. We just spoke about that. He's asking about he's asking the same question that Sam Ridd did, but he's also asking, this is a good one, comparing Chelsea FC's player revolt, you know, from a few years back, what league position in December will make Arsene Wenger's position at the club untenable? Is there a position that would do that, Neil?
Well, apart from maybe being in the bottom three, I don't think so, no.
Really, that bad? You think it has to get that bad?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's almost become one of those where over the years he has become almost unsackable, because it's up until now he has been doing, as far as the board are concerned, remember this is coming from the board's perspective, not mine. As far as the board are concerned, he's doing the job that they probably wanted him to do. I've always said that I don't think we've got any footballing men in the board. I think they're all money men. And as far as they're concerned, the managing director, because that's what effectively, I guess, Arsene Wenger is. If you look at it from a company point of view or a business point of view, he's doing the job. So if he's doing the job, he's not going to, you know, be at risk of being outed by them. You know, it comes down to him making his own decision and saying, well, look, I've tried. I'm not good enough anymore. I'm not the kind of person I was before, maybe, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And it's time for me to move on. And I think it's going to be more about him. I mean, it's a difficult question. You know, it's like, you know, how long's a piece of string? You know, are we going to be in the top 10 and then something happens, or we're going to be 15, you know, between 15 and number 10? I don't personally see that happening. That's the point I'm going to make, is I don't personally see that happening. I don't think it's going to get as bad as that. You know, we were after the Liverpool game, all of us were so down. We're thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, how much worse can it get? And we had, there were signs that it could get even worse and we could really implode and it's going to be very, very dark times ahead. And I'm not saying that's gone just because of one game against Bournemouth. But as Mark was saying, and as I said at the beginning of the pod about formations and as what Mark, you know, very nicely said just then, it's about the player's mentality. And if by potentially getting rid of Oxlade, who may have been causing unrest, we don't know. You said you mentioned earlier, Jack, that if you're in a job and you're about to go, I've been in this position where someone's about to leave and they're a little bit more pally than me, with me, than maybe the bosses. And then they might sort of say, oh, yeah, I can't wait to start my new job and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a new challenge and that. You automatically switch off. It's human nature. It's very difficult to then have that same zest and the same passion for your current employment. And if that was happening with Oxlade, there's going to be some kind of sort of even like body language from him that's going to be, you know, the other players are going to be picking up on. And maybe things like that are even causing unrest, you know, and now he's gone. And then all of a sudden there's no coincidence. So we come out and we play like a completely different team to what set out against Liverpool. You know, maybe that has stabilised it to a certain extent. I know we've still got the issues surrounding Alexis, but, you know, until January, even if it is that's going to be at the very earliest, he is now with an Arsenal player. Same with Mustafi. So it could be that there's been a little bit stabilisation now. And I personally don't see it getting that bad. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we're back to being a top four challenging for everything, because I think we need to address the situation, you know, after the Chelsea game and see how well we perform or don't perform against them. But I don't think it's going to take something really drastic for his position to become untenable. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Very, very drastic.
Yeah, we have seen Kroenke do it with his other clubs, give a new contract to the manager, did it with LA Rams, the football team, last year, gave a new contract to him and then removed him shortly afterwards. But it's not quite the same. You've got a different sport. He trusts in Arsene Wenger massively, it seems. And you don't see that kind of thing that happening, do you, really, unless something drastic happens on the pitch. So I could probably agree with you. I think it would have to get much, much worse for them to consider removing Wenger. Would you boys agree with that, Mark, Michael? Oh, they've gone silent, have they?
Hello, mate. I'm here. Sorry. I would. I think Neil's cracked it. I think, you know, he's there to deliver, you know, what he delivers every year. And we know what that is in terms of the way the clubs run and the money and the finances. And you know, yeah. I agree with Neil. I think he could be eighth, ninth, and they still wouldn't do anything. I think he's set in stone. It would literally be, you know, if we were in the bottom three, maybe, you know, I don't know. But even then, I honestly just don't think it's on the agenda. It's not even thought about. I don't think. I think once they signed him for that 2 years, you know, given it was Kroenke's insistence as well over Gazidis, who, you know, who just went back in his hole. Did as he's told, took his £2 million a year. You know, what CEO would accept that? Going to the ball, going to the owner and saying, listen, I think we should change things. You know, it's time the manager went, and he just gets shattered down. And he just, you know, do as we told. As long as my money ain't affected. You know, it's one of them. That's the state of the place. You know, everyone's, you know, and now we hear he's taking control of the transfers. I mean, really? Are you serious? He's taking control of the transfers because Dick Laws stepped down, right? You know, I mean, he hardly did a good job, did he? But, you know, did we even have a transfer negotiator, really, did we? All right, okay. But anyway, but Ivan's taking that role on. So not only is he CEO of the PLC, but now he's going to be the chief transfer negotiator. Bloke has never fucking met a footballer in his life that he don't know. So that'll be fun. So, no, you know, I don't. I think, you know, they know that Arsene does so much there. You know, he's a complete custodian for them in terms of their business interests. And I'm not sure that Kroenke, given his track record in America, gives a flying toss about really what goes on the pitch, personally.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. We've got a question on that from @SamIM_21 saying, any thoughts on AFC being able to do better with contracts negotiations now that Dick Law is out? Well, you answered that one for us, Mark. But Michael, I agree with that. I mean, he's supposed to be our transfer negotiator. The contract guy was, from what I remember, we brought in a new guy from Team Sky or something, a commercial expert called Huss Famey or something, for the contracts over the summer, but he decided to take 3 months off as soon as he started his job over the summer. So that was nice. clearly we don't have anyone there. And then Mark says, but you know what? We don't really discuss that. We're very over... We brought in a lot of members, didn't we, in the backroom staff, Michael? Layman, and the new strength and conditioning guy from Liverpool, this Team Sky guy. But there was no removal of anyone. So we just, Peyton's still there, isn't he? Peyton's
still there.
So that reeks of how we're run as well, doesn't it? Rather than make a big decision and remove someone, we're not going to put Layman on the bench. We'll bring him in, but he'll kind of be in the background somewhere. There's no clear cut, decisive decisions being made as such, is it? It's just let's become a bit more overcrowded.
Yeah, he's keeping the old boys network, keeping his old people sweet and keeping them on side. People like Peyton, he shouldn't be there anymore. When you've got goalkeepers, we've had in the past all making exactly the same type of mistakes and errors, despite their different attributes and abilities, you've got to start to ask the question, are they being coached properly? What are they being coached? Because we had that with Almunia and Szczesny and Fabianski, all making the same type of errors, the same, breaking down, at certain points. But he should have been gone. You get someone like Lehman in. I know he's been given the title as first team coach, but come on, he should be goalkeeping coach, shouldn't he? That should have been just straight swap. That should have been. To be honest, I mean, I think Neil Banfield, who was the manager of the reserves, he got moved up to become first team coach the season before last. And even though he is a first team coach, he's nowhere to be seen on the bench on match days either. So I don't think it's anything to do with Lehman falling out with people or whatever. I just don't think that on the match day he's given that sort of preference to say, okay, yeah, you've got a seat on the actual dugout. We all know who's got that seat next to Wenger. The silent man, Steve Bowl. Waxwork. So it's weird, Jack. Like you said, it's pretty much the sameness, isn't it? We've made some new signings off the pitch. We've still got some people there. We've made two signings on the pitch. Bar a couple of people like Gibson and Fox. So it's as you were, isn't it? It's as you were, really. The same going through it again. So it's very, very strange.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's a very odd one. We'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, it's an odd one. So many first team coaches and none of them with the first team on game day. It's a bit odd. But at Norfolk SML also asked about should Alexis start next week. We got to that. We said we didn't feel we should. And Ivor Cannon talks about the back three, maybe bringing in Mertesacker for next week against Chelsea because we did it against the cup final. But I'd probably expect Mertesacker to play midweek. Just a quick touch on midweek's game and Chelsea's game before you boys go. Neil, I want to make wholesale changes in midweek. I want a complete different 11. I figured at this early stage of the Europa League, we should try to make sure the first team is playing one game per week only and really try to take advantage of that to try to get ourselves back in the top four. Would you agree with that, or do you want to see a mixture of the first team and the reserve team, Neil?
I kind of agree. I agree more than disagree. That's what I'm trying to say. I think there maybe should be maybe a couple of first teams just for that little bit of experience. Because for me, although it is the Europa League and maybe a lot of people aren't so bothered about it, I still think it's a way for and an opportunity for the youngsters who we want to see and potentially start breaking through. For me, I even think someone like Reece Nelson should already be playing, because I don't think Bellerin's doing a fantastic job anyway, but that's another discussion. But I don't want us to just field fresh 11 and then, because of ability, but maybe a little bit of an experience. The occasion for them is still going to be a big one for them. It might get to them and they might just freeze and it just becomes a bit of a shambles and we have an early exit from the competition. I'd rather see us progress so it just gives them more games, because I know we've got the League Cup as well and potentially maybe a few players can slot into the FA Cup games, but for me this is a great opportunity to really build on those players that could just be on the door, knocking on the door, breaking through, So I'd probably play maybe at least 7 or 8 changes, and maybe have a couple of just experienced players in there, just in case, just to add that little bit of, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, calm the others down if there's an issue, or, you know, we go drop a goal down very early on, that kind of thing. And maybe they'll come in and just sort of give them that motivation, get their heads up. And that's something that we've been lacking, to be honest, even in the first team, but hopefully with the youngsters that they might help the situation. So that's how I would see it. But I definitely want to see players like Reece Nelson feature. I think maybe, I know Jack, you said maybe Jack Wilshere may not play, but there's a possibility that he will. And there's so many others that we've got, you know, you've got Niles, you've got the plethora of options. Ospina will probably start in goal, you know. We've got the squad, we've definitely got the depth to field a complete fresh 11, but just a couple of experienced players for me in there as well.
Yeah, get the experienced heads on that have been there, done it. Theo Walcott's of the world, you know, those kind of players.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But you expect him, you know, I thought about the team in my head the other day, and I'm thinking, you know, Giroud, Theo, Iwobi, Jack Wilshere, Elneny, Chambers, holding, Perma, Osaka, centre-backs, right wing-back, maybe Reece Nelson, left wing-back.
Strong team.
Yeah, there you go. Left wing-back, I don't know who we put there, maybe Maitland-Niles, someone like that. We haven't got a true backup left wing-back, but we could make a full change. Michael, would you like to do it that way?
Yeah, I think obviously the main focus obviously is getting on the run in the league again and getting that game. But I think we, you know, with the squad that we've got, and like the boys you just read out there, I think they're strong enough to get deep into the competition. Definitely through the group stages should be an absolute given. They shouldn't even, you know, you can't make an absolute balls up of that. No chance. So it'd be interesting to I think, like you've tweeted out, Jack. I'm actually looking forward to some of these games, because it's almost, in a way, it's almost like it's almost stress-free. You're going to see some players trying to use the game to try and get minutes and to get themselves back into the first team. But at the same time, it's the Europa League, isn't it? And it doesn't really get serious unless we get to the quarters and semi-finals, and then when the Champions League place is available. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it on Thursday, just to see, you know, some of the youngsters, to see how they take the chance and how they gel with some of the experienced boys.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mark, what about you? Anyone in specific that you'd like to see Thursday night?
I'd like to see Wilshere. I think he's the one that stands out for me, because I just think that he's the type of player that we need in the centre when fit, you know. I think that's the one really that I'd like to see. But yeah, listen, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's an insurance policy. I think we should give it some sort of credence, take it half seriously, because if we might actually need it. United used it like that and proved that it could be done, and, you know, probably we might well need it. Who knows? And if we do, then we go for it, because there ain't a lot in it. If you look at who's in it, there's not a lot in it, to be honest. So we're up there as as one of the favourites. So no, I think we've got enough in our squad. You know, we have got literally two teams to play 11 changes, 9 changes, whatever, really, and still should be comfortable, you know. So, but no, I'd like to see Jack. I'd put the armband on Wilshere on Thursday night and say, right, show us, come on. Are you still in there? And if you are, let's see you. So, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm excited for Thursday night. We get to see players that we just would never see if we were in the Champions League. We wouldn't see them come in hardly at all. So there's that. You got to look at the benefit of it, haven't you, I guess? So
at
the same time, I'm sure throughout the week in training, he's got to be prepping us for Sunday as well, because you can't just spend Friday, Saturday prepping for Sunday. So it'd be very interesting to see how the training would work on a week like this. We've got Thursday night games, wouldn't it? I mean, I know it'd be interesting, but I'm sure he would be playing first 11.
Yeah, he might go strong bench, mightn't he? So he might just use it as a collective and put four or five sort of heavy hitters on there just in case. I don't know. I don't know how serious he's going to take it, but, you know, he needs to take it fairly seriously, because I do think we might need it.
Yeah, stick Alexis on the bench in the Europa, that'd be a laugh.
Yeah, make him play.
Yeah, make him play. Start him. But
get some of that weight off.
Yeah, you felt he looked a little bit heavy, did you?
Definitely. I definitely thought he looked interesting. He looks a bit chunky when he came on. Yeah, he didn't have that that real spring in his step. He did, yeah. I'll definitely, Ben said it as well, my son said it as well. Yeah, oh, we both said we think he looks a little bit, and the Chilean press certainly give it to him about it. So I was looking for it, and I went, "Oh no, he does actually look a little bit heavier, yeah." Because they're all hating on his girlfriend, right? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've heard.
They've made him fat over the summer, and it's her fault that Chile are not going to go to the World Cup. There you go. No, there's one right. for you.
There you go. He's comfort eating because he's got to stay in London. Yeah. He can't go back.
That's it. Yeah. Too many tostadas. There you go.
There you go, mate. There you go. Boom. Go on, get on Kolasinac's weightlifting program.
That's it, mate. Yeah, he don't have any problem moving around, does he?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Exactly. There you go. No excuses, right?
Love it.
So,
prediction. Start with you, Neil. Go for Cologne on... I've been to Cologne. Nice place, actually. I'm going for Cologne on Thursday night, and then Chelsea game. First scorers and predictions.
Prediction 4-0 Cologne. Reece Nelson's going to get a brace. Theo Walcott's going to get a brace. Jesus. And Reece Nelson's going to start. Right. And yeah, and Sunday 2-1 us, and it's going to be Lacazette's first scorer.
Oof, okay, positive. Michael, what about you?
I'll go for 2-0 against Cologne, and Theo to score first one, and Chelsea, I'm going to go 1-1. And Lacazette as well to get the first.
Okay, all right, not bad. And Michael, Mark, what about you?
I'm gonna go 2-0 as well Thursday. I think we're gonna be comfortable as well. And I'm gonna go Giroud. So I think he'll give him a start. And then I'm gonna go 1-1 on Sunday. And I'm going to go Lacazette. I don't know if I've just copied Michael, but that's what I think.
Okay. All right, I like it. I'll go 2-1 against Cologne. I'll say it a bit closer. Drew, first scorer. Figure he'll start. And then I'll say 2-2. I'll say we'll go there, we'll put something in at Chelsea, and we'll come away with a draw 2-2. Welbeck, first scorer. Definitely start.
Happy with that.
I'll take that, mate, all day long.
Yep. Yeah, I would. All we want to do is see us compete, innit? And I think, would you say, before you go, would you say top four would be, at this point, with everything that's been going on, the revolt, the crisis, if we got back into the top four for this season, do you think that would be a good achievement, boys, or what do you think?
As long as we've been playing good games and challenging and doing our best throughout the season, yes.
I think it would definitely be a good season if we managed to get in this top four this season. So it's going to be very, very difficult. So yeah. if we did manage it, then it would be progress for me. Well, it would be because we finished outside of it last year. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It would be, yeah.
Top four in the Europa would be quite nice, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be nice. I wonder how many fans we'll have there for a Thursday night. Are we expecting a lot of empty seats?
I went on the site and I think the tickets were going for £15 or something, if I'm right about this. Mm-hmm. And they're still available. So yeah,
it'd be over 50.
Yeah, there will be over 50. But even on Saturday, Mark, I don't even know if there was loads of... I mean, I had four empty seats next to me. So,
very poor, nil. Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be like a Carling Cup sort of crowd, isn't it? You're going to get a lot of kids and families in there, a chance for them to watch a game. So
nice.
The atmosphere will be that's what you'll have. All the proper hardcore ones might give it a miss, you know, or whatever. I don't know, might take it with a bit of a pinch of salt, but you know, you'll get a lot of kids and families in there, and probably get a few idiots running on the pitch. That's what normally happens. Be warned.
Nice to deal with. Yeah, there you go. Well, hopefully Tuesday, Wednesday night, all the big Premier League clubs get absolutely ruined and get exhausted, and especially Chelsea. And we'll be ready come Sunday. So fingers crossed, boys. But thanks a lot. It's been great hour and a bit chat. So Michael, Mark, Neil, thanks a lot.
After
we do Chelsea over again on
Sunday.
Lovely. That would be good. Right, that would be good.
Thanks a lot, right, boys.
Take care.
The sheer euphoria pouring out from everyone, managers, players, supporters. How about that?